Today's message will be about Abraham and Sarah. What does it mean to be a believer? Sometimes we get long in the tooth. We get cynical or tired. Life can bash us around, and the faith we once had, which was so fiery and bright, can become a bit what I call jaundiced, jaded, you know, a bit. And the book of Hebrews was written to first century Christians who themselves were under pressure to hang down their hands and sort of give up a bit in their believing. And they were being tempted to go back to the Jewish religion. They were under pressure. And the book of Hebrews, really, it's got one big message. Okay, it's a very complicated book, but it's got one very, very, very simple overall message. It's this. Be a believer in Jesus. Now, I know all of you, I hope, are believers, but it's so easy to become jaded and a bit jaundiced and sort of tired. Whereas God wants us to be like Caleb. Do you remember Caleb in the Bible? Caleb was, I think, about 85, and he went to Moses, and Caleb said, I've got as much vigor and strength as I had when I was 45. Give me that mountain in faith. You know, he was fresh. He hadn't become tired and long in the tooth. So Hebrews is written to say, keep on believing. Be a believer today, not just 20 years ago when you were converted, but now. And this story we looked at today is part of that encouragement. So some of the things that Hebrews says, just very quickly, is that God has spoken his final message in Jesus. And we're to believe in Jesus. God is not a dumb statue who can't speak. If you want to hear the latest message to the universe from God, you have to listen to Jesus. That's the message of Hebrews. Another little point Hebrews gives is that God has given promises to believers in Jesus. We're going to look at that today. You've been promised things. Do you still believe God keeps his word, or have you gone a bit jaded and a bit, is God really going to promise to do what he says? Another little thing about Hebrews is that God has done all that is needed by raising his sacrificed son, Jesus Christ. You know, God has done everything that you will ever need to get you into the presence of a holy God. For sinners like you and me, we can come near to God in his burning white holiness because Jesus has done it. It's a finished work. That's to remind you that it doesn't depend on you. And then the last thing that I think is a theme in Hebrews is this. You can't get better than Jesus. You, in this room, have the best. You know, one word that comes through Hebrews again and again and again and again and again is the word better. We've got a better leader, the Son of God, not just a priest. We've got a better sacrifice, Jesus who died for you. We've got a better sanctuary, that's living in God. We've got a better country. It talks about a better country. You know, you're going to leave this earth and go to a better place. And one day get a resurrection body as well. There's going to be a better country, a better. Why is, you know, we've got the better religion than anyone else. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you can't improve on Jesus. Jesus is the best. But here's the thing. Life comes, we become jaded and tired. Because you see, this is the truth about faith. Faith. It's about things that are invisible, isn't it? The things that we believe, you can't see. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You cannot see this stuff with your physical eyes. This is why people want to build temples and have priests and all these things, because they don't want what's invisible. But the truth is, what is invisible is absolutely real. And I want to encourage you that you are in the right place in believing in Jesus Christ and what God has promised and what God has done. Okay, and I want to encourage you very quickly also by telling you this. God can still use you no matter your age. Because Abraham, when he started, he was 75. I don't know if anyone here is 75, but, you know, God can still use you. So I want to encourage you that don't ever think it's too late. It's only too late if you've died. You know, it's never too late. Even if you've only got a few years left, God has such a rich promises for you, and he's done so much for you in raising his sacrificed son. He's got something better for you in the future. Your future is bright. You might think, oh, my future's a bit grim. Well, maybe on the earth, but not. God's got a great future for you. He really, really has. Do you believe that? Okay, what does it mean to be a believer? Well, the way I'm going to look at this, I want to look at two stories of Abraham. So we're going to look at two stories of things that were promised to Abraham to teach us what does it mean to be a believer. And the first story is where God promised a land. He promised a land to Abraham. Okay, now, Abraham lived in a very prosperous city called Ur of the Chaldees. And excavations by archaeologists often... Can I tell you a quick joke? Sorry, I must tell you a quick joke. Why is it best, if you're a lady, to be married to an archaeologist? Because the older you get, the more interested in you he becomes. Now, it's back to the message. Now, archaeologists have dug up Ur of the Chaldees, and they've discovered that the houses, this is an example of an excavated house, they've discovered that they were some of the most modern houses in the ancient world. They had central heating of a type, they had running water, they had special bedrooms that were nice and modern, and God spoke to Abraham, and he got up and left it all to go to a place that it says he didn't know where he was going. And he did it at the age of 75. He up sticks and went to a place God would give him as an inheritance. So what I want to say to you is that faith in Abraham is not random wishful thinking. He wasn't thinking of moving house. It was the best place on earth. Modern. But God had made a promise to him. And he was sure of it. That's what faith is. When you sense something from God and you are sure of it, what you've been promised. And he left it behind sacrificially and went believing God. And I want to tell you that God has promised you many things, but have we grown a bit jaded? Or are you still sure of what God says in his word? Now, I have here a £5 note, a real one, not just on screen. Now, here's the promise. I will give this £5 to the first person who comes up here to take it. Now, it... there you are. You can keep it. You can keep it. I don't want it back. Now, that was faith. Faith was getting up and walking to me to get the fiver. See, if you believe that I'm reliable, and God is reliable, if you believe I'm reliable, you will take God at his word, a promise. That was faith. And that's how Abraham was with the land. You know, he believed God and he went. His obedience showed his faith. Now, just to quickly encourage you, his obedience wasn't perfect. You know, he wasn't a perfect man, Abraham. He had many, many faults. And I hope that encourages you, because when we obey God, we don't always quite get it always fully right. But, you know, when Abraham left his home, he took his dad with him. And he took his nephew Lot with him. You can read about this in Genesis and in the book of Acts. But God had told him to leave those people. So he wasn't fully obedient to start with, but he grew into it. I want that to encourage you. You know, you may not always get it perfectly right. But this is the most amazing thing of all. When he got there, he didn't build a house. He lived in a tent. So let me just read that to you. It says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Okay? Now, isn't that a little bit odd? God's promised him something. Okay, God, I'm going for it. He doesn't build a house. He doesn't settle down. He stays in a tent. It's as though he had received, he sort of knew he had received what God had promised, but he sensed there was something more. He sensed there was something better. And in a way, he hadn't received everything God wanted. He sensed there was something better. And that's, I want to say to you all that when you might be a Christian and you might get a bit tired, but there's always more. There's something better for you in this life and the next. And Abraham had that sense. Yes, I've received, but I haven't received all of it. I'm just going to live in a tent, thank you. You know, it says in the reading, verse 10, it says of Abraham, "For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." You know, he had his eyes on something more. It says they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth in verse 13. Then in verse 16, talking about Abraham and others, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And Abraham knew that there's something more than what I've got. I hope you haven't lost that sense that there's more coming your way. You know, he realized that Canaan, the promised land, Israel, yes, it's a real thing, but it was only a foretaste, a shadow of something even better elsewhere. So Abraham was like somebody camping. Okay, now I'm going to ask you, are you a camping person? Do you like camping? Look, there's a picture. Apparently, that photograph on the left is on the Isle of Wight. And that's where we're going next week. I hope it's not like that. But you see, camping, right? When you go camping or glamping, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You make do. You make do. You don't. You walk around, you stand around in a muddy field. Okay, I'll make do. You go to the water tap. This happens to me every single time. I go to the water tap. It spurts water all over me. The pressure on the water taps are crazy at campsites. Have you ever seen? I don't know if you've done that. And then you end up dripping wet, lugging back a big heavy carton of water back to your tent. And we won't mention the toilets. Oh, dear. I mean, we went glamping in Cornwall and there was a horse trailer. I won't go into too much detail. And inside there was this kind of a so-called toilet. I called it the toilet of doom. And I actually, this will make you laugh, I held my bowels in for a whole week. I said, I'm not using that. I refused to go on it. It was awful. It was evil. It was horrible. But the thing is about a toilet like that and about camping, you know, and we were also camping. We had to share one kettle with the campsite. On glamping, one kettle between us all. We had to share one stove. You know, you want to cook something, you've got to wait for the tent next door to hurry up. But the point is this, you make do. Why? Because you know it's not going to be forever. It's just camping. You make do without a proper toilet. You make do without proper plumbing and proper electricity because it's not forever. And this is what Abraham was doing. He knew that one day it would come to an end. He'd pack up his tent and go home. Going home for Abraham, by the way, didn't mean going back to Ur of the Chaldees. It meant going on to a promised homeland, a heavenly country. Now, I want to just say this, that as a true believer, you are a bunch of campers. All right? You're in a muddy field at the moment. You're on planet Earth. Planet Earth is like a muddy field at the moment. It's not your permanent home. So I suppose the big challenge for us is this. Don't put down roots here. Don't put down roots. You know, beware of the mentality where you say, well, home is here. I'm putting down roots. My brother-in-law, he lives in a beautiful house. It is amazing. I'm quite a little bit jealous of it sometimes. It's an amazing house. But you know, if you go up to the top floor and look out the window, guess what you can see out the window? A cemetery. Out the window of your house. And in that cemetery is buried a relative of my brother-in-law. And it's such a poignant reminder that we're not here forever. We are campers. I mean, I hope you're happy campers. You know, we are campers. Don't put your roots down. You might have a mortgage, that's fine. You got a house, that's fine. It's all great. Have a roof over your head, but it's basically, it's just a tent. You know, if someone says to you, where do you live? I challenge you to do this as one of your little everyday faith things. I bet it's quite difficult, but I challenge you. If someone says, where do you live? Don't say, I live in Ewell or Tadworth or wherever it is. Say, I'm temporarily staying in Ewell. I'm just passing through. Then that might bring in a conversation. Like, oh, why is that? And then you can tell them, well, actually, I'm a Christian, you know. They won't think you're a traveller, I don't think. Although we are travellers. And I hate the phrase. There's a phrase that people sometimes use. They say, oh, we're as safe as houses. You know, houses are not safe. Criminals break into houses, and we're going to have to leave our house one day. It's only like a tent. Even this church building, wonderful as it is, and even though we've got hopeful plans to extend it, it's just a tent. Doesn't make you more secure or stable. We're passing through. I read this quote by a man called Raymond Brown. He is was the principal of Spurgeon's College. And he just said these words. The majority of our contemporaries live as though this world is everything. They have no eternal dimension to their thinking, whatever. Christians have a responsibility of reminding them there is a life beyond this one. And after death comes judgment. Now, if you really want to do something a little bit odd, there is a website called The Death Clock. I don't recommend you go on it, but if you are that kind of person, I've been on it, there's a death clock. And what you do is you type in your age, you type in your weight, your body mass index. You type in your lifestyle, whether you drink, smoke, how often you have a drink, whether you do exercise. You type all this stuff in, and then it calculates the day of your death. Now, I did it, and that's a very generous one up there. I did it, and apparently I've got 23 years left. 2045, apparently. It's a silly website. Don't use it. But the point is this. It's a good reminder that life is ticking away. That's what it says on the website, and a reminder that life is ticking away. But can I just tell you this? Your life on earth is only the first rung on a ladder, and I want to really encourage you that where you're going is absolutely wonderful. And it says in Hebrews, God has prepared a city for you. If you notice that, in 11 verse 16, this is for true believers, right? 11 verse 16, it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You have got a wonderful future. Don't put down roots here too much. Don't get too attached here. And God will not be ashamed to be called your God. You know, you may have many faults. I mean, Abraham had a load of faults. You know, Abraham wasn't perfect. He tried to pass his wife off as his sister once, and his wife ended up in the harem of Pharaoh. You know, she ended up in Pharaoh's harem. It's a horrible way to, dastardly way to treat your wife. So he had his faults, but because he believed God's promises, because he longed for that future thing, that future city, God was not ashamed to be called his God, even though he did that to his wife. And you people at CCE, you visitors today, God is not ashamed to be called your God if you believe and keep believing in Jesus and what he has promised. Now, so we talked about the land. The second story is Abraham was promised a family, wasn't he? Now, if you read in the Bible, Genesis chapter 11, you get a list of all these babies being born. So-and-so gave birth to so-and-so. So-and-so, the old-fashioned word is begat. He begat this and begat that. There's loads of people getting born. And then you come to Sarah, and it says Sarah was barren, unable to have children. And I know that is a sad thing that does happen with people. And I respect those people. But in this particular instance, God did a miracle. God did a miracle. He took Abraham outside and he said to Abraham, look up at the stars. And he said, Abraham, you see all those stars up there? You're going to have as many children as that. You can imagine Abraham going, what? Through Sarah? Who's barren? Now, when Abraham looked up at the stars, he probably saw around about 6,000 stars. more attainable. I reckon you can see about 6,000 with your naked eye. Well, we know that there's a whole load more than 6,000 in the Milky Way. Thousands upon thousands of stars. And it was laughable. It was like laughable. Abraham was 100. And the Bible describes him in terms of being able to have children. He's as good as dead in terms of being able to have children. It was as good as dead. He can't have children. And Sarah was 90, and they both laughed. And then when the baby was born, they called him Isaac, didn't they? Because Isaac means laughter, or another translation of the word can mean a joke. This is a joke. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, the point is, if God says something, he can do it. And they believed God, and this is what happened. It says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she and Abraham considered God faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. It was funny. You know why Isaac, the name Isaac means laughter. You know why it was funny too? Because a whole nation called the Jews, the Jewish nation of Israel, the whole nation came out of quite aged old age pensioners. Okay? God keeps his promise. I don't know whether we still believe in God who keeps his promise. God will do what he says he's going to do. In the Bible, you say Jesus coming back. It's going to happen. A new heavens and a new earth, it's going to happen. A resurrection body, it's going to happen. But then the smile gets wiped off their faces because God says to Abraham, he's got to sacrifice this son. In verses 17 to 19. We read, just briefly, God tested him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He, who embraced the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now you might ask, how could Abraham do this? How could he stick a knife? Can you imagine it? This is child sacrifice. This is bizarre. How can he do it, Abraham? How can you do it? How can you do it? Well, the answer is in verse 19. In verse 19, it says Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. He's saying to himself, look, if my son Isaac dies, God will have to raise him up from the dead because he's promised and God can't lie. You know, God can't break a promise. People say God can do anything. God can't do anything. There's something God cannot do. He cannot break a promise. God doesn't promise you something and then cross his fingers behind his back when he's telling it to you. Abraham said, if God can overcome death in my own body, I'm as good as dead, then he can make Isaac come back from the dead. God, I'm sure, God is reliable. I'm sure he can keep his promise. He was so convinced, actually, that when he took Isaac to offer him, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but as they were approaching the altar where they were going to do this sacrifice, we read that Abraham said this to the servants that were traveling with him. Let me just read it to you. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took two of his servants with his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place from a distance. And this is the bit I want you to listen to. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. we will come back to you. That was a statement that he said, I know that God is going to raise my son from the dead. We're both going to come back. He was so sure that God would raise his son from the dead. Okay, well, what does all this teach us? I'll try and summarize it now. We studied two stories. Abraham was promised a land. Abraham was promised a family. Okay. But what do these two stories teach us about what it means to be a believer? Well, I hope to try and show you now as we draw it all to a close. Number one, being a believer is being sure of God's promises. Abraham was so sure that God was going to give him a land, he left one of the most expensive posh houses you could get and he went somewhere. Abraham was so sure that Sarah was going to have a baby that he believed God and God credited it for him for righteousness. And she became pregnant. Abraham was so sure that God could raise his son back from the dead because he promised that a nation would come through him, that he was willing to sacrifice and kill his son. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not a rare quality for, you know, I don't think there are people say to you, oh, I wish I had your faith. It's not for the rare few. Faith is simply being convinced that God is true and that God will do what he says. So how can I make this practical? Okay, let me give you two practical examples. If you sin, you might say to yourself, particularly if it's a repeating sin, you might say to yourself, can God really forgive me? God is fed up with me. God probably hates me. Well, what does the promise say? The promise says God will forgive you if you repent and turn to him. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, reliable, that means true, and he will forgive us. He's just to forgive us. What about death? Maybe some of you in the room are afraid of death. You're scared of dying. Can I be sure there's a life after death? What if I just die and that's it? Oh, it's terrifying. And death is a horrible thing, I admit. But you know, it's been promised so many times in Scripture. I mean, there's so many verses, I won't quote them all, but things like, it says, he who's raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us from the dead. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Paul wrote, when I die, it's better to go and be with Christ. It's far better, better, better. You have a wonderful future. Don't be afraid of death. Billy Graham, the great preacher, he once said this. He said, one day you will hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive after I've died than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I've gone in to live in the presence of God. I presume you're all Christians here. If you're not a Christian, why not? Are you not convinced that God keeps his promises? Forgiveness, a heavenly homeland, a city prepared for you. And most of you, I guess, are Christians. If you're a Christian here, do you still have that passionate faith of a God who keeps his promises? Or are you cynical, tired, long in the tooth? Oh, that's just Simon rabbiting on as usual. I became a Christian years ago, but it's not fresh anymore. No, God's promises are true. God cannot lie. So basic, isn't it? God's promises. The second thing about being a true believer is this. It's being sure of what God has done. Being absolutely sure of what God has done. You know, God has raised a sacrificed son and he's prepared for you a heavenly country. You know, Isaac was the first of the whole Jewish nation. But what happened to Isaac? He was someone whose life was to be sacrificed and then raised again. I mean, we know that Isaac didn't actually die. They caught a ram, didn't they? A sheep in his place. But it's a picture of a son sacrificed and then received back, raised from the dead. And that's a picture of the first in many, 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 many nations. Who does that remind you of? Who does it remind you of? We're the church. We came out of a son who was sacrificed and raised again. You are part of God's people. What happened to Isaac is a parable, a foreshadowing of what would happen to Jesus when he died and rose again. You cannot be a true Christian believer unless you really know that it's all to do with a son who was sacrificed and raised again. That's what it's all about. Do you believe, can I just ask you, do you believe that he was killed for you? Do you believe that he was raised for you? Do you believe that he sits there on the right hand of God now pleading for you? Are you sure of what God has done? You know, we're a bit like Abraham. Abraham couldn't see resurrection, but he believed it. He couldn't see Isaac. He believed that God could do it. Now, we believe in resurrection, don't we? You've never seen a resurrection. You've never seen someone come back from the dead. You weren't there when Jesus walked out the tomb, but you believe it. Do we still believe what God has done? Let me read to you what Jesus said to doubting Thomas. You ever met a doubting Thomas? Have you ever been a doubting Thomas? Did God really die and rise? Did Jesus really come back from the dead, or is he just dead somewhere? If you're a doubting Thomas, Jesus appeared to Thomas, but this is what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Because God is true. You're going to find out one day that everything I've been telling you is utterly true. You're going to find out. The other thing that's true, what God has done, is he's prepared a heavenly country. It says that Abraham was looking for this heavenly country. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have a heavenly country to go to? Do you believe there's life after death? Or have you become a bit, oh, I hope there is, I'm a bit scared. So there we are. In summary, being a believer is about believing God's promises and being sure of that and being absolutely sure about what God has done. So, what's the final summary? I want you to just be like Abraham. Go and be like Abraham. Believe what God says and trust in what he's done and what he can do. Here we go. God has a bright future in store for you. Keep believing. Keep hoping. Keep walking. The message of Hebrews again and again and again is simply this. Keep believing. Trust God completely for what he has said and promised and what he has done. Be a believer afresh today. Amen.